The scripture reading this morning comes from Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the book. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Very glad to see such a big crowd this morning. I'm glad to see that the rain and the floodwaters didn't keep us in. Very thankful for that, and glad that we all made it here safely. In Revelation chapter 20, it talks about some books. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, are these books that we find in Revelation. What's interesting is the Bible names one book, and then it kind of doesn't name the others. And as I've read that passage and talked to other individuals and thought about it, I thought, what are these other books? What are these other books that are going to be here at judgment? Because surely these are books that we would want to know about. Surely these are books that we would want to dedicate our lives on understanding. That way when judgment comes, we will be prepared. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, it says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the book. I wonder what these books are that are going to be at judgment. And as I thought about it, I don't know if I necessarily have the answers. And we know that Revelation has some figurative parts, and this is a vision. But I wonder what are some of the books that are going to be at the judgment. The first book that I believe will be at judgment will be the Bible. And I think when that day comes, the day of judgment, there are going to be people that are not going to be happy that the Bible is there at the judgment. Well, why are they not going to be happy? Because they have not heeded the words of the Bible. They have not listened to the words of the Bible. They have not listened to the words of Jesus. And because of that, they will not be happy that the Bible is one of the books at judgment. Will you be happy that the Bible is at the judgment? Certainly I will be. Hopefully you will be as well, because the Bible is guiding us, letting us know what we should do and what we should not do. And God has laid out the path. He has led the map to heaven, and yet so many times will we neglect the Bible, the book that will surely be there at judgment. Maybe it won't necessarily be there physically, but certainly the ideas which we find in the Bible that talk about heaven and hell and the way in which we're supposed to live our lives, surely those ideas will be there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We will be judged by things that are good and bad. How are we to know what good and bad is? We cannot know without the Bible. You will not know without the Bible. And if we don't dedicate our lives to understanding what God deems as acceptable and what God deems as unacceptable, or we decide to ignore the words of the Bible and say, you know what, I know that the Bible says that this is activities that I shouldn't be involved in, sinful activity, yet I will go my own way. The Bible is going to be at judgment. It might not be physically there, but the ideas which we find, the things that are right and wrong, they will be there. How will you stand against those things that are right and wrong? Will you keep the Bible in your mind always throughout this plane of earth? Because surely it will be at the judgment. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible doesn't leave anything out. The Bible doesn't leave gray area in terms of those things that are right and wrong. God's not trying to fool us. God's not trying to trick us. I try to tell my students all the time when I'm teaching them, I'm not trying to trick you. This is what I want you to know. This is what I want you to be able to do. And you know when test day comes, will they be able to do those things? See, when it comes to the judgment day, how are you going to be on that day? Are you going to know what God expected of you throughout your life? Are you going to turn the blind eye to the scriptures that have given us everything that pertains to life and godliness? Will we lay the book aside but yet that book will appear again on Judgment Day. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse 3, says, "All things that pertain to life and godliness." People want to make their own rules. People want to say that the Bible doesn't give everything that we need, but yet the Bible is what we need. Will we listen to the words of the Bible? Or will the words of the Bible haunt us on Judgment Day because we did not heed them upon this earth? In John chapter 12, verses 48 and 49, Jesus talks about His own words. In John chapter 12, verse 48 and 49, He says, "He who rejects Me and does not receive My words has that which judges him. The words that I have spoken will judge in the last day, for I have not spoken on My own authority, but the Father who sent Me gave Me a command what I should say and what I should speak." Jesus said, "I didn't come with My own words, I came with the words of My Father." And He said, "These are the words that are going to judge you." He said, "He who rejects Me and receives not My words has that which judges him." Jesus said, "You can reject them. You can turn them aside. You cannot leave them. You can hide them away. You can lock them away. You can burn the words of God. You can cut the words of God. You can edit the words of God. But they'll judge you in the last day." What will you do with the words of God? What will you do with the Bible? In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it talks about the Word of God. It says the Word of God is living and powerful in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints of marrow, and it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. See, the truth hurts sometimes. Sometimes people don't like to hear what the Bible has to say on a particular issue. Whenever issues come up in my life, I try to say, is this what I want, or is this what the Bible is telling me to do? When you come into hard situations in your life, you go to the Bible, or you already make up your own mind before you go to the words of God. What the words of God should say? You know what the words of God should say? Everyone goes to heaven. So I'm not going to read the Bible on that issue, because I don't want to know that everyone's not going to heaven. What are you going to do with the words of God? The words of God are sharper than a two-edged sword. They're living and powerful. It's amazing how powerful the words of God are. When I try to talk to people, I try to just quote scripture to them as best I can, or turn them to the passage. When people read the words of God, many times they are cut to the heart. They know what they mean. They know what they mean, and many times they're hurt by them because they know they don't fall on the right side of them. The Word of God is living and powerful, but will we use it? Will we study it? Will we apply it in our own lives? Or will we just let the time pass away and just let God's Word slip out of our lives? In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, this is after a big long judgment scene. After God is talking about these individuals putting some over to the left, some over to the right. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 46, after this judgment scene has been laid forth, it says, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." What is God going to judge on? How is He going to make this determination on Judgment Day? Certainly you would want to know that. He's going to make the determination based off the words of God. But will we let those words of God slip from our minds? Will we let them not be taught? Will we let them fade in our memories? Or will we be constantly reminded of the standard which God has laid forth? Will we be constantly reminded of what God will accept and what He will reject? Or will we wait till judgment comes and the Bible is brought out and we are afraid because we know what the Bible says and we did not heed the words brought by the Bible? The first book that I believe will be at the judgment, maybe not literally, will be the Bible, the standard of right and wrong. The second book that I think will be there, maybe not literally, but I think it will definitely be there in the sense of it will have to be there for judgment to take place, is the Book of Deeds. The Book of Deeds will be at the judgment. Now I want you to think about the Book of Deeds for a second. What is the Book of Deeds going to have in it? It's going to have your sins. The Book of Deeds is going to have your sins in it. It's going to have the perfect record of those things that you thought you got away with. Those things that you had in your mind. The Book of Deeds has everything recorded. And this is not like our court system. It's going to be perfect. going to have every deed that's ever done. Particularly when we think about it, think of our sins. Think of those things in the secret places. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. The secret of men. How is God going to know these? They're going to be in the book of deeds. Figuratively or literally. In Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, it says, who will render to each one according to his deeds? It's talking about deeds. What are the deeds that you have done throughout this life? Certainly the book of deeds will be there. And what we realize about our deeds is at least one of our deeds was a sin. If we've reached the age of accountability, what we realize is in the book of deeds, when God opens that up, he's going to find Kyle Lancaster's name, and there's going to be at least one sin beside it. And I can tell you it's a lot more than that. God knows my life. He saw all the secret places, he saw all the things, and when he opens the book of deeds, if it's not taken care of, there will be a record of my sins. And what's the wages of sin? See, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When God opens the book of deeds, what is he going to see on you? What is he going to see on you? He's going to see at least one sin. He's going to see at least one sin. And let something's done about it. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, it talks about this idea basically in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10. If we say we have no sin, we lie. If we say we have no sin, we lie. In the book of deeds, it's going to be recorded the sins of individuals. And what is the wages of sin? In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. If your name is in the book of deeds, and your name is in the book of deeds, and you have a sin, just one by your name, you're deserving of death. You are deserving of death. Just one sin in the book of deeds. How many sins do you have in the book of deeds? How many sins have been lined up over the course of the years? How many sins are in secret? How many sins are there recorded that you've tried to hide away? And if your name's recorded in the book of deeds, you're deserving of death. When I think about the book of deeds, it's not one that I like to think about, because think of all the things that are done in secret. Think of all the things that you've done that have been against God's word. Think of all the sins that have been done by your hands, by your eyes. We know that God sees all. There's nothing going to be left out of the book of deeds. It's going to be a perfect picture. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. You're going to have to give an account. And this is an account that you're not going to be able to get out of. This is not an account that you can lie about. This is not an account that you can forge. This is not an account that we can edit. This is not an account that we can cut up. Not by ourselves. What deeds are recorded of you? In Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, God kind of warns us. He says, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Every idle word. Every idle word. There'll be an account of in the judgment day. It's interesting how we're so good at finding the deeds of others, the faults of others, but not of ourselves. How easily and quickly we can make a list for the deeds of everyone else. Look at them! Look what they have done! And we keep the list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is what they've done. Bam, 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 bam. But when it comes to ourselves, we turn a blind eye. I've never made a mistake. I've never had a fault. Think of you in the book of deeds. What's recorded there on you? See, when we make our list, unfortunately, many times we make the list for other individuals but not ourselves. Look at what this person's done. Look at what this person's done in a far-off country, but we don't take time to reflect on what we have done. What we have done. The question is, if you make it into the book of deeds, do you make the list? In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, it says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have a part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Do you make the list? Do you make the list that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11? It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, because our world certainly is trying to deceive us. They're trying to tell us that we're not in the book of deeds. They're trying to say that we don't have a problem that we need to take care of because that we have committed sin. They're trying to say we're not in the book of deeds. We've never done anything wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulteresses, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such are some of you, which I want to say for a little bit later. But do you make the list? Do you make the list? And when we think about the book of deeds, and what we realize is if we're honest with ourselves, we make the book. And we might make the book more often than we care to admit. Is that we have more sin against us than we would ever want to admit to. But God knows. He knows every single one. And the thing is, it only takes one. The wages of sin is death. It only takes one. And you're deserving of death. The spiritual death. Fortunately for us, we know that that's not the end of the story. See, this is where grace comes in. Is that when we realize that our name is in the book of deeds, when we realize that we have committed sin against God, we realize that there is no thing that we can go to the Father and we can say, you know what, I deserve heaven. Because when judgment day comes, God, the Bible will be there. And God will say, here are the things that are right and wrong. And then there is beside it is the book of deeds. He opens the book of deeds and he says, there's Kyle's name. And he's deserving the death. Because he has violated the law. He has violated those things. He has committed sin. And the wages of sin is death. But that's not where the story ends. And that's what's fortunate for us. Is that Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ came, died on the cross. And what he did was give us a chance to get our name in another book. A name in another book. And this book goes by different names. I think that in the Bible we could say it's the book of names or the book of life. See, Jesus purchased that book. He purchased that book so our name could be written in it. And something very special happens when our name is written in that book in relation to the book of deeds. But when we look at the book of deeds one final time, I think we realize that we've got to get this fixed. Because if you go to judgment, and it was a fair judgment without this third book, we'd be in trouble. Because what we realize is when we look at the Bible, we have committed sin. When it comes to the standard of right and wrong which laid forth by God, we realize that we've committed sin. And when we've committed that sin, God knows it, and he's recorded it in the book of deeds. He knows all things. He knows our violations. He knows our shortcomings. But fortunately, there is one more book, and that's the book of names or the book of life. The Bible talks about this book many times. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, it says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice your names are written in heaven. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of your fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. The book of life, rather. What happens when your name is written in the book of life is that there is a remission of sins. There's a remission of sins that we read about in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Acts chapter 22, verse 16, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, when we're added to the church, when we're baptized, those sins are washed away, but what's really happening is your name being added to the book of life. And God says, I'm not going to remember those deeds anymore. It's a beautiful thing when we think about it, that it doesn't end with the book of deeds, but the book of life. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, it says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. How does that happen? You've got to get your name in the book of life. And then God is going to remember your deeds no more. In Micah chapter 7, verse 19, it says, He will again have compassion on us, and will subdue our iniquities, and He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. In Romans chapter 4, verse 8, it says, Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Not impute sin, not charge sin, not hold against. See, when you get your name in the book of life, God sees your name in the book of deeds, and He takes it out. He takes it out. Now, when you think of that, that just amazes me every time, because, you know, by all rights, I should not make heaven. Because when we have the standard of right and wrong, has Kyle committed wrong in his life? Yes, he has. And that God makes an exception. He shows grace. He shows unmerited favor. That He says, you know, Kyle, I know you've committed the sin, but I'm going to give you a chance. And if you get your name in the book of life, if you take that opportunity, when I look at the book of deeds, I'm not going to see your name there. Even though it should be. Even though it should be. Will you get your name in the book of life? Will you be recorded in the book of names when it comes to that time? Certainly many times people will take opportunities in their lives, and sometimes we will just look at those opportunities and we will not do the correct action. And many times people will say, well, you know what, if you get your name in the book of life, it can never be taken out. But I think that's what's so haunting, is that if the name is took out of the book of life, your deeds appear once again in the book of deeds. If your name gets taken out of the book of life, that on the judgment day, He's going to look and He's going to say, no, his deeds are still there in the book of deeds. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, it says, For if after you have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcame, and the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them, so that it has happened to them according to the true proverb, A dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having been washed, turns to wallowing in the mire. What will you do when this day comes? How will you feel when this day comes? What are going to be the feelings on that day? See, a lot of people don't like to think about that day. But certainly death is certain. Certainly death is certain. It's a day that's coming for all of us unless Jesus returns before that day comes. And that death is creeping up on us quicker than we think. So many times I think of a verse in Proverbs where it says that basically we have 70 years and by reason of strength we go beyond that. And I just think of how many years I've lived on this plane of earth and what percentage of my life is already gone. And when I think it in terms of 70 years, of course we know that we could have less or we could have more, but when I think it in terms of 70 years, how close am I to the end? How close am I to the end? I was just talking to my wife the other day as I turned 25 in April. And I still feel like I just graduated high school the other day. How quickly time passes. How quickly it goes past. And how few times we think of the judgment scene. How many few times do we look and say, Am I right with God when it comes to these things? In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, it says, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. What did Jesus' sacrifice do? It gave us the opportunity that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, a people that's clean, a people that's pure, not because of ourselves, but because of God and what He's done for us. But how many times do people try to get around the words of God? In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 19, it says, If anyone takes away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. It says He will take away His part from the book of life. We need to be in the book of life. It's our only chance But God has given us that chance. And certainly you don't deserve that chance, but that is what God has afforded to us. But will you be prepared when that day comes? In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 10, there's a parable that's laid out. It says, while they went to buy the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in to enter the wedding, and the door was shut. Will you be ready for the judgment day? Will you do your best to get people that are around you ready for the judgment day? When the judgment day comes, the books will be opened. And of course, this could have been a figurative scene because it was a vision. But what books are going to be there? The Bible will be there. The standard of right and wrong. Certainly, that will be on God's mind. Certainly, the book of deeds will be there. Not necessarily that a literal book will be there of all our deeds, but God will know and He will judge righteously, knowing every deed that we have committed, both good or bad. But see, it doesn't matter how many good deeds you have committed. Just one sin in the book of deeds will keep you out. Just one. It doesn't take 100. That's what people say. Well, if I have so few, then I can stay. But unfortunately, it just takes one. One sin, one scratch, one mark against you in the book of deeds, and you will be kept out. And really, it should end there. We have the standard of right and wrong, and all we have to do is not commit wrong, but God knew that we would. He knew that one time throughout our lives, with our own free will, that we would choose the wrong path. We would choose the path of sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it talks about God giving us a path to escape. Every time we enter a situation in our lives, we can choose the right path. But at one point in our life, we, through our own free will, decide to go against God's will and commit the sin. And really, it should stop there. That would be justice. That there is a standard of right and wrong. You have committed wrong. Therefore, you are deserving of spiritual death. But Jesus came, died on the cross, so He could give us the book of life. The book of life. The book that if your name is there, He will remember your deeds no more. That when the judgment day comes, God will open the standard of right and wrong. He will go over to the book of deeds, and your name will not appear there, because He goes over one more and He sees the book of life and your name's recorded there. Is your name in the book of life? So He will remember those lawless deeds no more. So that the sin will not appear in your life, even though it should be. Even though, based off the standard, it should be, it is not there. What a great blessing God has given us. What a great chance He has given us. And when you think that when we were sinners, Christ still died for us. That's the truth. Is that when you look at the book of deeds, your name is there. Your name is there in the book of deeds. And while your name was still recorded in the book of deeds, God said, I know that you have committed wrong, but I will die for you so that you will have a chance to make heaven. Will you take advantage of the chance that God has given us this morning? Will you take advantage of the chance that God has afforded to us to do those things which God has asked us to do? He says that we need to hear the word, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. That we need to believe. That we need to repent, turn away from those things that we've done in the past, try to commit ourselves to the standard of right and wrong which God has given us. To confess before men that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, based off of Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, be baptized. So that you can be added to the church, and that your name will be added to that book of life, so that He will remember your deeds no more. You have the remission of sins. What a great blessing, and what a great opportunity God has afforded. Maybe you've walked away. Maybe you've walked away and you started ignoring the book that God has laid forth, particularly the book, the standard of right and wrong, and you need to return to that straight and narrow path. We'd love to help you in any way we can. If you need the prayers of the church or subject to invitation anyway, we ask you please come as we stand and as we sing.